This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Who's on the line?
Good morning, Barbara. It's Susie.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
You don't sound okay.
Oh, I just got a lot of things coming up. Got a procedure on the 16th and just a lot of medical things, but I'm okay. I woke up this morning, so...
Oh, that's right. Yes. That's a blessing in itself.
Yes, it is.
Good morning. It's Diane.
Good morning, Diane. How are you?
Good morning, Miss Barbara. I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. You sound a little sleepy, but you sound well.
Yeah.
Good morning, all. It's Deborah Evans.
Good morning, Deborah Evans. How are you?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm doing well. And you?
I'm well.
Good morning, Ivanka.
Good morning, Ivan.
Good
bless you too, sweetie.
Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Sylvia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Declared Victory. This is Barbara. Has anyone else joined the line?
Good morning, this is Sonia.
Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning, this is Sonia.
Good morning. I didn't catch your name.
Mona.
Oh, good morning, Mona.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Declared Victory. Has anyone else joined the line that would like to say good morning? A happy Tuesday. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us be glad in it. Good morning. Welcome to Declared Victory. Has anyone else joined the line?
Good morning. This is James.
Good morning, James. Good morning. Welcome to Declared Victory. Has anyone else joined the line?
Good morning, Victory family. It's Pam. I love you guys. Have a blessed day.
Good morning, Pam. You have a blessed day also.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to Declared Victory. Has anyone else joined the line? Happy Tuesday. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad in it. Good morning. Welcome to Declared Victory. Happy Tuesday. Has anyone else joined the line? Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Has anyone else joined the line? Well, before I move forward, I ask that everyone mute your line so that we can proceed. The call is being recorded, and we would like it to be very clear. My name is Barbara Cockrell, and I'm your host today. Thank you for joining us here on Declared Victory. We are a prayer call that meets Monday through Saturday, starting at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, to edify, empower, encourage, and equip you in your walk with Christ. Please feel free to invite a friend so they can be blessed too. We are in a season of harvest. The theme for November is grow. Are you growing in Christ? Be sure to tune in daily to hear what the Lord would have us understand about and the importance of growing in and through Him. You don't want to miss the teachings, stories, and lessons that the declarers are preparing as they hear from God for His people this month. We have two announcements today. Thank you to all who have made a decision to partner with Declared Victory in growing and giving. Your contributions are assisting us to maintain the call system, as well as provide food for homeless, college students buy books and supplies, and emergency assistance for individuals and families in crisis. We pray that your seed is multiplied in excess. Also, it is now open enrollment for giving contributions. See your HR at your employment for necessary forms for your employer to donate. The second, please join us tonight for TNT Bible Study with Pastor Lavelle Jones, right here on this call from 7 to 8 Pacific time. There were no prayer requests on the line, so the order of the call, the declarer will be Moses today. You don't want to miss that. It's awesome. Praying and corporate prayer will be done by Pretty Patrice. Don't want to miss that either. Then we will go right into the closing comments, hosted by Moses. The order of the call today is the declaration will be by Moses. Praying and corporate praise will be done by Pretty Patrice. Then we will go right into closing comments, hosted by Moses. At this time, we ask that you please put your phones on mute until instructed to come off of mute. I now pass the call to Moses for today.
Thank you, Barbara. I hope everyone can hear me. Am I coming through clear right now?
Yes.
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. I'm trying a new headset thing. My neck always gets sore with the holding it to my head. I know it's a short, unrelated story. Sorry, but thank you, Barbara, for greeting us and bringing us in today with so much joy and just so much joy being released as you're greeting and hosting and welcoming everybody in. Before we get into today's message, I just want to open us up in prayer real quick. Father, I just praise you for this day. I thank you that you're up and speaking to us before we even opened our eyes, Lord. I thank you for every blessing that's going to come through today. Lord, I thank you for your message. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. And I just pray that we're able to steward this knowledge, this information today. I pray for the guarding of our lips, our mouth, God, our words, our mind, our thoughts, our knowledge, the wisdom that we share, that we receive, that we grow today, Lord, that you be in the very fabric of this service today, Lord. We give you all praise, honor, glory, and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, in going with the theme of growth this month, so November's Growth Month, so I'm going with the theme of growth. My message today is titled, Coming Back to Zero. And we're going to be talking today about how we go, we're going to be talking about emotional debt. And we're going to be talking about how we go from the negative, how we get back to a clean slate from the things that happen in our life, what we've experienced, what we're currently experiencing. How do we get to a place of a clean slate? How do we wipe clean some of the things we've experienced? And thinking about this message, this was recently just put on my heart to share this and kind of explore this concept. I noticed that one of the biggest things looking back, you know, it's the first of the month. I was just paying some bills recently. And as I'm paying my bills, I kind of just see how far I've come in the last, really even the last 8 months, but in the last couple of years, the way my finances have looked. And finances were a really touchy subject for me for a lot of time. I got into some debt and financial trouble and just making bad decisions and had to move back in with my parents for a while, and it was really hard. I was really on a tough budget. I just was renting a room from them in their house, and they were so kind and loving to help me out. And you know, the Bay Area housing prices are crazy. I just couldn't afford to make it on my own, and I was really down. I was really depressed. I was really sad. I felt like I never had money, and I just regretted all the decisions that I had made financially as a young man, growing up, getting closer to my 30s, and you know, I'm 28 now, and I looked back at everything when all this was happening, and I realized just the life lesson that I had learned with accumulating debt, paying off debt, and just finances and that whole financial world. And God really genuinely taught me so much. Genuinely, to the point where I look back on everything and I'm actually kind of thankful I experienced it. And I noticed that the way this kind of happened in my life, it was very, there was a parallel between my financial debt and then emotional debt. And I realized that I started out with a large emotional debt in life. And I noticed that we kind of rack this up in childhood, early parts of our life. And a lot of times we spend the rest of our life paying off what was accumulated in childhood. And that's how it was for me. And that's how it is for a lot of people I encounter and a lot of people I know. And just seeing and hearing a lot of people's testimonies and accounts of what they've been through in life. And I noticed in my life that I was making bad decisions based off my childhood, based off things I had experienced. And then I would justify my bad behavior by saying, oh, well, I had a bad childhood. I went through this. And, you know, my dad left my mom when I was little and all these things. And I had abandonment and all this stuff. And I just partnered with so many things that I had experienced growing up. And I would just justify. I would be like really selfish in relationships. I would be very, just horribly selfish, just inconsiderate, irritable, just all these different things in life and work. And I would always chalk it up to my childhood. I would always chalk it up to, oh, well, you know, well, my dad left and, you know, I didn't have a good childhood or this or that or whatever. I'd say all these different things, right? And it was hard and we were in poverty and all these different things. I would say all these things, right? But the truth of it is that everybody has a bad childhood. Everybody has some sort of something going on. It's like, you know, I wasn't even the only one who came from a broken home. There's millions of Americans alone who come from a broken home. And I couldn't keep relying on that excuse anymore. But I continued to partner with that mentality. I continued to believe that, oh, well, I came from a broken home, so I'm just this. I came from a bad neighborhood where there was gangs and violence and you get recruited to the gangs as early as third, fourth grade. So I'm just this. This is just the life. Every adult male in our family had gone to prison. So we just act like this or we just do this. And I continued to pass the verdict on my own life based off things that really truly shouldn't have even affected me past the moment that I experienced them. But I chose to continue to partner with these things throughout my childhood, throughout my teenage years and my early years that affected my decision-making, affected my relationship building, affected all these things. And through looking back, I realized something, and I've always known this. I've always believed this. And I'm going to talk about the verse why. There's a lot of verses why I believe this, but I'm going to talk about one specific verse. And I want you to remember this. I want you to really hold on to this. If you take one saying or tagline away from today, is that you can't curse a Christian. It is impossible to curse a Christian, but you can get a Christian to curse themselves. And one of the main verses that really comes to mind with me when I first started really exploring that concept was Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. And this is when God is talking about the tithe offering curse that was placed over Israel from robbing him. And everybody knows verse 10, because verse 10 is a very popular verse that's used for tithing and offering today. But verse 8 before that, God's talking about how their behavior, the way they decided to do in life, placed a curse on them. And he didn't even say it from the perspective of, I'm doing this. He's talking about, because you robbed me, because you've done these things, because your mentality, your fear or your selfishness or whatever it was, whatever iniquity it was, placed this curse on you. And that actually happens. You can see this happen a lot throughout scripture, where we not only get ourselves into these situations, but then we have to pay the price of the decisions that we made. And we become so convinced that we need things, that we need to do things in a specific way, because our thought process is affected by our experiences. Our experiences dictate who we become, right? All this leads to this self-imprisonment. And that's the first point I'm going to be talking about in 3 points today. One being self-imprisonment. Two, the second point we're going to talk about today is take inventory. And the third point we're going to talk about today is prayer and accountability. And, you know, segueing into that first point, I think about 2 Peter 1:3, where it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And I started to see that, taken with the intro and the testimony I just talked about right now, with, you know, placing yourself in these situations a lot of times. And sometimes you don't really have control or power over what happens to you, but we all have control and power how we react to the situations that happen to us in life. But no matter what, we have the power to shape what happens after. And for me, what happened with my own self-imprisonment, whether it was financial debt or whether it was emotional debt with my childhood and my upbringing, what happens is we choose to walk into this prison cell that we suffer in every single day, whatever it is, in a lot of ways. And the way I first was introduced to this concept was actually in a dream. I remember a couple of years back, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I remember having a really interesting dream. My brother and I had started going to Cathedral of Faith in San Jose, and we were getting our lives on track. We had both been heavily doing drugs a lot, and we were just really no direction in life, and we kind of just were enabling each other. It would be the same thing Monday through Friday, get high every day, Monday through Friday. Friday, one of us gets paid. We'd just go buy drugs. We'd go drive to wherever we were driving to, and, you know, East Side or, you know, we're going to Fremont, we're going to wherever. We lived in the Bay Area at the time. And we just go back home and get high all day. And we just sit in the garage and just get high. And that was our life. And what would happen is we started coming out of that life. We started going to church. We started going to Cathedral of Faith in San Jose. And at this time, as my brother and I were starting to come into freedom, we're starting to get our life together, starting to dream together, starting to cast vision together where we wanted to be in a couple of years. And, you know, we wanted to start a church. We're like, man, this is awesome. We really started feeling God's love in our life. I had just started college, and my brother was about to go to, he was getting ready to, you know, he was about to graduate high school. And I realized, like, there's so much freedom we were experiencing. So one night I was sleeping and I had this dream where it was, so I'm from the Bay Area. So one of the biggest monuments, so to speak, in the Bay Area, one of the biggest attractions is the Bay Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge. And in this dream, I was on the Golden Gate Bridge, but the whole Golden Gate Bridge was a prison. It was a multi-layered prison, and there was prison cells. And everybody in the Bay Area was in one of these prison cells on the Golden Gate Bridge. And my cell door was open. It was never closed. And I would, same time every day, I would walk in, and I would sit in my cell, and I would just stare out the window and just dreaming of being free. But my cell door was always open. It never closed. It never locked. And every day, like clockwork, I would go back into that same prison cell. And I knew what God was telling me. I knew that God was telling me, you're choosing to go into this prison cell, and the gate has been open. From day one, the gate has been open for you to leave and walk out. And I realized that we lock ourselves up. We speak over ourselves the verdict a lot of the times. Our own tongues condemn us. Our own knowledge, our own mentalities restrict us from growth. We stop ourselves from experiencing the freedom that we pray for every day. And the truth is, we're on our knees and we're praying and we're speaking in tongues and we're telling people, we battle with this, I battle with this and that. And the truth is we're already healed. And what I see in that is 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. It's our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. It's knowledge. It very specifically uses the word knowledge because it's a cerebral mental issue. This is a mental thing that we choose. A lot of times we choose to partner with these things. We choose to be in these situations. And like I said, I'm not talking about circumstances that are, there's a lot of unforeseen things that are going to happen. But the way we develop post-trauma, the way we develop post-adversity, the way we develop post-stress, post-anxiety, these situations, it's the knowledge of Christ that sets us free. It's the knowledge of the power and the blood that is already within us, the healing that is already for us, the freedom that is already within us. it's a matter of us mentally knowing what we walk in, mentally knowing the power that we already have within us, not striving for something. Because a lot of times we pray and ask God for something that he's already given us. We will pray and pray and pray and pray and beg God for something that we already have, but we don't even know it. And this happens all across the board. This happens whether you just gave your life 2 weeks ago or you're pastoring your third church, you're planning churches, you're going to see that. I've seen that in my own life, even now, today, where there's things where I get so preoccupied with, oh, well, it has to be done this specific way. I don't realize that God has already given me that. I already have that. And that's where I started to, leading into the second point, the second point is take inventory. And the reason why taking inventory is so important is if you know you have the freedom to overcome and you have the freedom to have life and have life more abundantly, then the next thing that becomes paramount is taking inventory. What am I partnering with? What are the things in my life that I've continued to curse myself with by believing that it's even a battle? Because to know God's character, to know who God is in your life, is to know that there's nothing that can even compete with that. And it's almost an insult to God to believe that any of these things have the power to consume you the way that we empower them to every single day. And 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And the way I see this and the way this verse contextually to me is we have to literally take inventory. I saw this in my own life. I saw that I had to write these things that I was I was 20 something and I just battled with there was this big three for me. It was anger, lust, and fear. And the anger was just this like irritability. It was just like I would just become irritable. I needed to be left alone all the time. I wasn't a mean person. I was just very reclusive. And my anger wasn't rage or fury. My anger was just quiet irritability with people. Like I felt like I was always waiting for people to catch up. And I hated that. And the lust was just this constant need for approval, this constant need for validation, this constant, like it was just like I was trying to fill a cup that kept emptying out. And I just always needed it. I'd be at the grocery store, and if the clerk was cute, I would just need her to validate me or to flirt with me or something. And I just always needed it. I always needed that validation. I always needed to just feel that validation that comes from just someone you lust after. And my fear was just the worst kind of existential emotional fear of just thinking, I'm going to die. What happens when we die? What if God's not real? What if none of this is real? What if this is all just hopeful thinking, wishful thinking? What really happens? What if my loved ones die? I just fear of anything, fear of just the most irrational fear. I just feared anything. I feared anything and everything was going to go bad. If I had a parking ticket, I would be like, oh, I'm going to go to prison. Like straight up, like I got a parking ticket. Like I would freak out. If I had a call from an unknown number, my heart would sink because I'm like, I'm going to get fired. Or like, this is somebody calling to tell me like, you know, is a debt collector or something that's going to call. Like everything was fear. Left and right was fear, fear, fear. And I battled with all these things, but I really didn't battle with them. I believed that I battled with them. I believed that they had more power. And really, truthfully, I was the one that was powering them all the time. A situation would come, and I knew these spirits, these emotional attacks would just read my profile and be like, okay, he's afraid of this, battles with that, boom, boom, boom. All right, 8:00, let's go, let's get him. And I'm getting attacked with all these things. I'm in traffic, like, what if I get in an accident, my insurance rate goes up, all these, I'm just fearful, right? Just living horribly in fear every moment that something bad's going to happen and it's going to be the worst possible thing. And just by powering it, what happens is that I was giving it full authority to afflict me at all times. And the truth was, is that by being set free, by coming into agreement with the blood, I was no longer a victim to these things. And I needed to take inventory first and know what I needed to renounce. I needed to know what I needed to break the power of over my life. And I'm a list person. I'm all my list people listening right now, you know, you know, if you're a list person, you know, if you're not a list person, you just don't get it, because I have to have everything as a checklist. Everything has to get checked off. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts. I can talk a lot. I can think a lot, you know, so I have to organize everything. And for me, just having it visualized and just crossing something off a list, it just feels amazing to me. Like I have like this, like, just, oh, I just like the hair stands up on the back of my neck when I cross off something from my list of things I have to do. I love getting stuff taken care of. I just love that feeling of accomplishment. Even if it's like calling my insurance and being like, hey, can I push my due date back 9 days? And they're like, yeah, sure you can. You hit your payment every month. And I'm like, oh, I love it. That was on my list. That was number three on my list for Wednesday. You know, I love that feeling. And, you know, going back to the financial debt aspect, I was, you know, when things were really crazy and I was thinking about bankruptcy and, you know, filing for bankruptcy and all these things, and it was just getting really tough. And I was going to mentors and I was going to people and just asking for advice and what would you do in my situation and all this. One of the things, you know, honestly, one of the things that really genuinely helped me was just making a list of everything. And what I did is I went down one by one. I made a list of every debt that I had, how much I had left to pay off, how much my monthly was going to be of paying it. Did I contact the you know, the institution or whoever it was, if it was a credit card or whatever, did I contact them? What's the status of it? Has it been paid for this month? And who's my contact information? And that list, that note document on my computer, it changed my life. And it absolutely helped me. I was able to pay off, I mean, 10, 15K around there in a matter of months, just from being organized. Because I had no organization prior to that. And it's because I took inventory and I was able to clean house one by one and be on top of things because I had a structure and I had a method. And that methodology helped me attack everything one by one. And visually seeing it inspired me to keep going harder, to keep saving. Every time I wanted to spend on something that I didn't need or I wanted to be impulsive, I was like, I'd look at that list and be like, man, you know what? I care about sending my kids to college. I care about buying a house before I'm 30. You know, I care about moving to Planet Church. I care about doing all these things eventually. And I would look at that list and I'd see those numbers drop and drop and drop and drop and get smaller and smaller and smaller to where I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. This really works because I took inventory. And naming is dominion. And we know that scripturally in Genesis, but in spiritual warfare, this is one of the most powerful things I've ever learned. When I first learned how to do spiritual warfare when I was younger, I remember, and all the spiritual warfare people, I love shouting out spiritual warfare people because those are the behind the scenes warriors. You know, spiritual warfare people are like the behind the scenes, like they, spiritual warriors, you meet a spiritual warrior, you know all the spiritual warriors in your life. You know why? Because they're the people you email when stuff hits the fan. They're all the people you text. You send them, you copy and paste them all the text message when something goes crazy because you know they're going to get in their prayer closet and go in for you. But they all know the one thing, you got to name it. You got to name that if somebody's manifesting demonically, one of the first things they do is they say, what is your name? Because once they get that name, they control it. But here's where the enemy tries to get us off with the mentality, right? With trying to get us scared. He makes us think that communicating with what's oppressing us is going to make us lose because we don't know who God is in the midst of that oppression. The enemy makes us scared of asking its name because he thinks that if we start talking to it, that we're going to give power to it. That if we identify it, it's like, no, don't talk to me because I'll beat you. Or don't try to name this because, you know, you don't want none of this. You don't want any of this heat. You know what I mean? You don't want smoke. Once you know my name, like you're done. Because he's scared because when we name the things that are lying to us, that are afflicting us and oppressing us, we have control over them. Because when we have control over them, we have methodology. When you have methodology, we have structure and vision. When we have vision, we're in the same culture of Christ because Christ always operated in vision, right? So you have to remember, don't fear communicating. Don't fear naming it because naming it is your dominion over it. And when you take inventory, you visualize what you're destroying. you're visualizing what's attacking, and it's going to open up so many more elements. There's so many other dimensions that are illuminated when you're taking inventory, right? And that leads me to the third and final point that I'm going to close out with, is prayer and accountability. And this is huge to my heart. This is very huge to my heart, because someone I love and care for deeply was wounded by the church. And the church, and you know, I say this very respectfully, because the church is the body of Christ, but what the church has become today a lot of times is a rat race. And it pains me to say that. But the reason why I know that is because the state of the world. The state of the world is always a direct reflection of the church. And the world doesn't, in the United States, we're still grappling. We're still like, a lot of people don't even believe in God. A lot of people don't, we still have that conversation of like, that's how primitive our spiritual knowledge is in this country. But it's primitive because our church is so, it can be divisive. It can be a rat race. And this subject is so dear to my heart, because what happens is there's no prayer, there's no accountability, there's no QA in the church. The church is one of the most successful companies in the world that doesn't have QA. There's no QA whatsoever. There's no quality assurance. And what happens is, you know, you see this happening in, you know, what do we always hear in the church? Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Shout out back again to the prayer warriors that are you know, swinging in the air right now. You know, the prayer warriors that stand in the gap. You know what I mean? The prayer warriors that know that they got to take the heat, because that accountability is so crucial to success. We always do the wrong thing when no one's looking. And it is so hard to have integrity. It is one of the hardest things, because we think we start small with it. Well, you know what? My wife bakes amazingly. I always, when no one's home, is when I eat the most cookies. And I battle with that, you know? I'm breaking the rule right there to say I battle with it. You know, when no one's home, I always eat the most cookies, because she's not going to be like, hey, that's enough. You know, she's not going to slap my hand and be like, that's enough. You're not even going to the gym. You're getting a panza. You're getting a little gut going on right there. You need to calm down. Stop it. And I'll eat 4, 6 some days, and I'll get a stomachache. And I'm 28 years old, and I'm sitting here on the couch in pain, rising on the couch, curled up like with a stomachache, wondering what happened. And I ate all those cookies because there's no one watching me. There's no one checking me. And I even noticed, not even more than the cookies, when I got myself into financial trouble, I was single. Now when I need to make a large expense, I call my wife. And we talk about it. I mean, I made a huge, huge purchase this month for me. I don't know where you're at with your finances, but for me, you know, I'm kind of a little, you know, tight now, you know, but I run a music company. I own my own music company, and I do music for film and TV and artists, and I create samples and all these things. And I needed a bass guitar. And I love playing bass. I've been playing bass for a long time. And I had to buy a $400 bass. It took me 4 months to budget and think about and really, truly think about, do I really need that bass? Can I borrow one I borrowed a bass for a little while. But then it came to the point where I really needed to just buy my own now. And it was easy because I had my wife for accountability, because I talked with her and she's like, well, you know, this month we need to get tires and this month we need to do that. And I was like, yeah, well, next month, you know, my brother and my dad are flying out, all these things. So we should probably just put it off till November. And I've been budgeting and saving for this base for 4 months. Now me at 23, I would have just got paid and I would have went and bought the nicest base I can get with my initials engraved in it and like a spinning headstock. And, you know, it would have been like the bass from Wayne, like with a guitar in Wayne's World, where he's looking at it in the glass case. And I would have just bought that right away, you know. But having her there's accountability reminded me that there's vision, there's a goal, and accountability, we dream together. And accountability takes time, but it's also where there's a lack of accountability, where my lead into this point was with the church wounding and hurting for a lack of accountability. Is because when we don't have accountability and we can't experience God's love through interpersonal relationship, is when we turn to religion. And religion is what pushes, that religious spirit is what pushes people away from God, because it's with that, you know, organized practice of, you know, sharpening each other. Don't take that the wrong way. Don't take it that I'm saying don't go to church or, you know, don't do anything anywhere. What I'm talking about is a misconception, a misrepresentation of God's grace, humility, mercy that we're supposed to emulate, right? The humility that we're supposed to show each other, that happens in accountability. See, what happens is when we don't have accountability there, we become religious because we need to compensate for our shame that comes from sin in some way. So we become religious as a defense mechanism. And that's what wounds people, and that's what pushes people away from the cross, because we're trying to compensate. And it's exactly what happened originally surrounding the cross, is that there was this religious spirit, this formula kind of mentality that entirely missed the heart of Christ. And that happens when there's no accountability. And I just want to real quick recap, because I'm running out of time here. We talked about self-imprisonment, point one. And we talked about, we are the ones who curse ourselves a lot of times with these mentalities. The second point started to talk about how we come back to zero, the title and the message. We take inventory. What are we partnering with? How are we being lied to by the enemy? What is it in our life? Is it anxiety? Is it depression? Is it fear that every time something bad happens, you start freaking out and you can't breathe, you can't sleep at night? You know, take inventory. What is happening in your life? What spirits are trying to lie to you? And why is this happening? And that segued into our point three, which is prayer and accountability. We have to make sure that we're reaching out to people and that we're creating a bubble of community and accountability to prevent ourselves from falling into something that's a misrepresentation of who we truly are in Christ. So I'm about to pass the call, but I encourage you to stick around for our Love, Life, and Victory. Check your phones to make sure they're on mute so that we're not getting any background noise while everyone's praying and while we're talking in Love, Life, and Victory later. I want to thank everybody for listening during this portion. And I'll see you guys again in the Love, Life, and Victory later on after prayer and corporate worship, as I now pass the call.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We invite you in this morning. We thank you for waking us up this morning, oh God. We thank you for the breath of life. We don't take it lightly. It was not the alarm clock that woke us up this morning, oh God. It was you. And for that, we say thank you. We ask, oh God, that you forgive us for our sins, oh God, that we're aware and that we are not. We thank you for Moses, oh God, and his word on this morning. Thank you, Lord God. We humble ourselves before you, God. We lay it all at your feet. We thank you, oh God, for grace and mercy, oh God. We thank you for every family represented here on Declare Victory in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for all that you've done and what you're yet going to do in us and through us, oh God. You didn't give us a spirit of fear, oh God. We stand on your holy word. So we thank you, God, for wisdom and revelation knowledge of you, oh God. Thank you, oh God, that we continue to thirst and quench after righteousness, oh God. Thank you, God. We pray for those that are sick in their bodies, oh God, sick in their minds, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that by your stripes we are already healed, so we're walking in our healing, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you heal, deliver, and set free as only you can, God. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for everyone here on the call, oh God, that got up with you on their mind this morning, God. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you, oh God, that we are self-aware and self-assured, and you didn't give us fear, oh God, but love, oh God, a sound mind, oh God. And for that, we say thank you, God. We're grateful, oh God. We're grateful, oh God, for your grace, oh God, and for your mercy, oh God, for your tender mercies. You didn't have to do it. We thank you, oh God, for giving of your only begotten Son so that we might be saved, oh God. You died, oh God. You rose on the third day with all power, oh God. And we have that same power down on the inside of us, oh God. So we thank you for power, God. Power, oh God. Revelation, knowledge, oh God, of you, God. We will trust you, God. We will stand on your holy word, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just want to give you glory, honor, all the glory and honor that you deserve, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for your word, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for those that are going out in the highways and byways, oh God, to compel men and women to come to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for them in advance, oh God, for what they're going to do. We pray for all the pastors and preachers, oh God, that go out and preach your word, that pray for us in the wee hours of the morning. We thank you for them. We thank you for our government, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that each and every soul will go out to vote on this morning. They will cast their votes and let their wishes and requests be made known, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Keep them all safe, oh God. I pray for traveling grace and traveling mercies for each and every one that are going out on today. Oh, God, we pray that your will be done in all of this, that you will get the last say on who is elected, oh, God. I pray, oh, God, that their hearts and minds are staying on you in the mighty name of Jesus. Our Father God, we pray, oh, God, for a change, oh, God. We pray, oh, God, for a difference, oh, God. We pray, oh, God, for righteousness in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for marriages on this morning, God. Bind us in love and unity, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray, oh, God, that we will love as you love, as they love the church, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Put love in our hearts, oh, God, for one another. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we ask, oh God, that you see and let us see the vision that you have for us, oh God, that you put it down in our spirit, oh God, that all we have to do is search and seek for you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that our lives will be better, that as we take inventory over our lives, oh God, if we have you in our heart, if we have you in our mind, oh God, that it is easier, it is better, it is for a much better life, oh God. We trust you, God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for all that you've done for us, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You didn't have to do it, oh God, but you did. You did not have to do it, but you did, and we thank you. We thank you, God. I pray, oh God, for my husband, Jeff, oh God, who's been battling with dizziness, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that it gets better, God. I pray that he walks in his healing, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that the doctors that are concerned, the nurses that are concerned, that are dealing with him, will guide him in the right direction, oh God, and that he walks in that healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And those unspoken prayer requests that was not heard, you know what they are, God. You know what they're in need of, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that their requests be made known, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So as we take our phones off of mute, we pray for your glory, God. We pray for your honor, God, that you deserve. If we had 10,000 tongues, hallelujah, it wouldn't be enough, hallelujah, oh God. We glorify you, God. We honor you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we honor you this day, Lord. We bow to this Lord of our lives, Lord God. We come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, your power, your great heart. Thank you for your mercy, your compassion, your understanding, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us,
Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word, Lord, thank you, Lord God.
awesome and worthy
so
to
much,
be
Father
praised.
God,
Lord,
God,
so hallelujah and glory to your name, God.
We
bless you, sing. Bless your people, Lord. Protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger,
Lord.
Keep us alive and healthy, love and holy,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord God,
for saying
that
I have
Lord God.
Lord God,
I thank you that I thank you that
no
chains hold my soul.
Guided by your word. Lord God, I pray this day, Lord God, that your will be done, Lord God. I pray that your will be
not
our will, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for loving
your name, Lord God. I love you,
Father God.
I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Guide me in my life, Lord. Speak, Lord
God.
Help me to acknowledge your voice, God.
Thank you, Lord God. Now, Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Wow, that was powerful. I just want to thank everybody for hanging around for Love, Life, and Victory. We're going to get in it. I just wanted to real quick recap. We talked about point one. Well, the theme of today's message, in accordance with growth, was coming back to zero. And we were talking about emotional debt, the things we partner with, and getting back to a place of a clean slate. How do we work back? And I didn't say this earlier, but this is actually a two-part series. So next Tuesday, I'm going to be doing part two, called Where We Go From Here. And today was part one, talking about how we get just to back to home base, back to ground zero, like back to just where we start, where we build up from. And our first point was self-imprisonment, how we condemn ourselves a lot of times. We partner, we believe the healing is already there. The freedom is already there, but we still partner with these things. And point two was take inventory, make a list of the things. What are the ones that always get to you? What are the ones that you always fall for? If it's fear, if it's anxiety, if it's stress, whatever it is, take inventory. Anger, it just does something to you when somebody cuts you off, when somebody's like riding, you know, your bumper on the freeway. Why does that get you just so frustrated? What is it about? What is it about anger that just always gets you? What is it about irritability? Is it patience? Is it take inventory? Point three was prayer and accountability. We talked about how lack of an intimate relationship yields a not good religious spirit. And because there's no intimate relationship with the character of who God is. So what we do is we use religion to compensate for not having a relationship with God. And scripturally, we see that, you know, Jesus' disciples had relationship with him. They did life with him. They knew him. Therefore, they were perfectly able to emulate his character to the world around them. However, the Sadducees and the Pharisees knew law. They knew routine. They knew formula. They didn't know Jesus because they didn't spend time with him. They didn't have that same relationship. So what happened is to make up for that, it was very religious. It was very, in a bad way. It was very, very judgmental, very divisive, and it didn't emulate and represent Christ's character. So that was kind of what we talked about, the three points today. And I wanted to just open up this time for anybody to just really share anything that this has either brought up in your mind, anything you would want to say, anything you disagree with, if you want to just disagree with something, if you want to highlight a point, if there's anything you want to just share, just please feel free, any of it. I just welcome any of it, and I want to just honor whatever God is putting on your heart right now. And I just want to thank everybody for hanging around for this. So the call is now open, so if you have something to share, please go for it.
Good morning, hey. Airman.
Go ahead.
Oh, is that Eric? What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you doing there? Wonderful declaration. I wanted to talk about the vision you had. You were talking about that multi-levered prison. It was, and I know that was nothing but the Holy Spirit, because last night I was staying up late because I was off. And well, I'm off today. I usually take off on my birthday. And so as my wife was sleeping, as I was watching TV, my mind just kind of cast off. My wife went to sleep, and I had a vision, and and in the vision I saw this, it was this meadow, and it was just full of sheep. And they were in sections. And I wasn't in the vision, but I saw a section, and I saw my wife standing before, you know, a section, and I saw my sister Robin standing before a section. And, you know, what I got from the vision is that, you know, we've been given, each one of us has been given gifts, has been given an assignment. And that's what I got from the vision, even at that, I began to pray and I began to ask God to anoint, you know, my family to understand and to be patient and to grasp hold of the assignment of the people, you know, because in the vision, it was like they were shepherds. They were guiding and they were going forth to stand. They hadn't left yet, but they were standing. And I began to, you know, pray that, you know, they would have the courage, you know, the desire to not just stand before your assignment, but just to begin to walk into that assignment and understanding that God has put people in our lives. You know, regardless whether it's other family members or whatever, but God has put us here for a people, a certain amount of people, and that we need to walk into that. We need to grow into that, and in order to fulfill that purpose in God. So it was just when you talked about that vision, it just brought that vision that I had last night. So I just want to say, I'm so very proud of you, you know, and, you know, I pray also too, that as you plant these seeds and you are walking in the assignment that God has given you, Lord, that God would give you the wisdom, an extra blessing to lead the sheep that he's given it and put in within your hands. So wonderful decoration. God bless.
Wow. Thank you, Eric. First of all, though, happy birthday. If we could just give Eric a happy birthday shout out, that was
happy birthday.
That was cold. That was cold, whoever called him an old man.
That's my little sister. Happy birthday, Va.
Happy birthday,
awesome.
Brother. Peace and love.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Brother Eric. Kayla wants to say happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh,
so funny. That's the best one ever.
Exactly, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I hope you feel the love, Eric. You know, we love honoring just everybody here on Declare Victory and just lifting up and this is our family, you know. And I just feel the Holy Spirit just coming out of everything you just said right now. I just felt hit, and I just want to let everybody know, man, I just feel just with our community, just with even all of that right now, just like loving on our community right now, I just feel Holy Spirit moving through us, just moving right now. But what I wanted to say with that is, you know, with that vision real quick, because I know we had other folks I wanted to talk, but real quick with that vision that I had, So what it was that we figured out the blueprint how to break out. And real quick, we have some phones that are not on mute, but if you can put your phone on mute, thank you, appreciate it. But what we have is we had the blueprint to break out, and we realized that we were going in there because that's all we knew. Me and my brother in the dream, me and my brother, all we knew was to go back in there. But when we finally broke out and we both finally got sober and we stopped doing drugs and we stopped, you know, doing all the stupid, that was just half the stupid stuff we were doing. But we realized, man, we want to reach the homeless in San Jose. We want to reach the single moms in San Jose. We want to reach all the minorities in San Jose, the people who don't feel good enough in San Jose. We're like, man, we want to make them feel like they have a home. That's when we figured out the blueprint. And in the dream, that's what it represented is in my personal opinion, the second most important thing in our walk after our salvation, knowing the power of the blood that Jesus died on a cross, is our purpose. Exactly what you were talking about, because everybody from Adam and Eve all the way to everywhere in the Bible, everyone had purpose, whether it was be fruitful and multiply, whether it was go preach repentance, whether it was go lead Israel, whether it was take the Israelites, take the Hebrews out of Egypt, whatever it was, whether it was go die on a cross, whether it was go reach the Gentiles, whether it was go talk to Cornelius. Everybody had a purpose. Everybody, every single person in the Bible, everybody had purpose. And so that was so important. But our purpose comes when we realize, when we get clear that emotional debt. That emotional debt clogs our purpose because we're so worried and so beat up on the things that are afflicting us that we never stand up and say, hey, you know what? I have an evangelist calling on my life. I'm going to go be a missionary. Oh, hey, you know what? Man, God has been working on me the last 20 years in the prophetic, and I'm going to walk boldly in the office of being a prophet of the Lord. God has called me and shaped me to be a pastor. I'm going to go pastor people. I'm going to go pastor God's sheep. You know, I'm going to go shepherd people. I'm going to go guide people. Purpose is so huge. I'm so happy you brought that up, because that is where it's getting to. And next week I was going to talk about purpose more, so this is a perfect segue into that. So thank you, Eric, honestly, for the wisdom, as always. Every time, never fails. And thank you for ushering in that move of the Holy Spirit right now, because I feel God moving right now. And I think later when we pray, I think God really wants to do something. So I'm excited to see that. But does anybody else have anything else that they want to share?
Yes, nephew.
Hey, Dee Dee.
It was me. I was trying to not sing to Brother E, but, you know, happy birthday. And also I heard Pretty Patrice lifting Brother Jeff up. So we are touching and agreeing. And like my pastor say, always go to the healer for the healing. So, Brother, just receive it. Those dizzy spells must stop in the name of Jesus. Nephew,
in Jesus' name.
My God, you said so much. But that inventory, you're so right. Back to home base. And when you were talking about how we're begging God for things that he's already done, oh, my God, how we condemn ourselves and what are we partnering with. And then I've learned this, when we don't have accountability, that's true. We can become religious, right? And that self-imprisonment. You did a whole, oh, my God. But it took me to that scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you for this sound mind this morning. I'll be 51 Saturday, and I thank him every chance I can for my sound mind, right? But sometimes we will allow that defeated enemy, that punk, that flunky, I said it, and all of his entourage, day after day, really, if we think about it, we sitting and waiting on God to change some situations that we simply just need to move. We need to move our mouths, do the work, quit just having that pitiful begging prayers, because he's already done it, right? And I don't know, it might have been in my spiritual warfare class that my pastor Brown talking about you banging on that door. We just banging on a closed door that all God needs us to do is turn the knob, because it's already open. But we're so attached to fear and what happens, or what are we partnering with? Moses, you're 28. Oh, my God, you have so much wisdom. I'm so proud of you. I'm just grateful that God strategically lined us up, because as I get older and the things that I face and the things that and not just me, but I don't a fearful prayer, and I say prayer. Not prayer, but a prayer, a fearful prayer. Can't pray for Dee Dee Felder, because I need you to be bold, because this spiritual warfare is real. Don't show up for battle with me. You don't have my back with a butter knife, because I'm slinging guns. I'm shooting for real. So I just love you, young Moses. And when I say that, I don't mean it because of your age, because you're wiser than a whole bunch of old folks, I tell you. And I love you, and I thank God for you this morning. I really do. You got it lit up over here. My babies, I'm seeing them for the first time in 5 days. They lit. You heard Kayla. She over here on one like she has some coffee. So I thank you. I thank you, and I love you.
Thank you. Oh, man. So we have a lot of November babies, I guess, because my mom's birthday is on the
20th. November 10th is going down.
Everybody. Wow. So we're going to have to do a birthday shout out for you on November 10th. But thank you for saying that. You know what that reminds me of? I have this this author that I read a lot. I don't know if anybody else has really read him, but if you have, you know, his name is Graham Cook. And man, I thank God so much for that. Just man of God that he is, and the wonderful pieces of literature that he's written in equipping God's people. But one of the things he talks about in his book is he was doing a conference and he's praying for this lady, and she was she had a physical, or her husband, I believe, had a physical. I could be messing up this story. I'm sorry, but her husband had a physical illness. And so she had to step up to take over the family and be the breadwinner and make the money and everything. And she got sick too, though. And And then she started going into a bad depression, and she stopped going to church. She stopped going to the cookouts and the bake sales and the events and all these things, right? And so what happened is when he went to go speak to her, she had been asking for prayer for healing. And what God had showed Graham was she was healed the first day she actually asked me for healing. And he told her, he was like, hey, do you remember when you first got into the depression when you were sick and you became sick and it was 5 years ago? And she looked up at him like, what? Like, yeah, I did pray that, you know, at that time. And he didn't even know any of that stuff. And she was like, yeah. He was like, well, God healed you that day and you've been healed for 5 years already. And she had been walking around living her life, asking for prayer from all that stuff. And I realized, man, how many of us do that, that God actually healed us that first day that we got healed. But we went on thinking that we still needed healing. We still went on set. And then a whole plethora, right, of other things, like a myriad things that come after that, depression, anxiety, sadness, all these other things. So that's what brought that brought that to mind when you said that. So thank you for sharing that, Didi. As always, so productive, everything you share. I really appreciate your encouragement and everything too. Does anybody else have anything else they would like to add to today's discussion?
Hey, Brother Moses, this is Juliet. I totally agree with Dee about what she said as far as wisdom and you having this wisdom. I was thinking about when you were talking about that imagery of that prison was so like,
was right?
So it's like, you know, I'm like, because I mean, when you first said that the door was open, you was getting up, going in basically willingly every day. Because you had basically, you believed the lie, basically. And I just, you know, I saw myself there.
Wow.
You weren't the person in that prison. I saw myself in that same, you know, in that prison. And it was like an awakening at that moment. It's like, that's it right there. You know, it's like, the door has always been open. You've just been, you know, going through routine, believing these lies that the enemy's been giving you all these years, you know, when you as you were coming up, you know, because you're talking about that part about being afraid. Oh, man, I still battle with it. It's not like it used to be, but I mean, I used to think about the most craziest stuff that could happen to me, you know, as far as just physical pain being inflicted. I'm always, you know, trying to cross the T's and dot the I's and, you know, and it was all about fear, you know. So I had these dreams of falling, you know, from high buildings, and you know. And so I know a lot of that has like shaped the person that I had become. I'm saying had become because coming out. But that was just powerful. I mean, that right there was like, and it was like the Lord would speak to me at that moment, saying, "That's you. That's what you're doing. You've been sitting here." Wow. I've delivered you. You know, you can believe for everybody else, but when it comes to you, you can't believe for yourself. You keep yourself in that prison.
So
I thank God for you, just, you know, this moment that, I answered the comment where God don't declare victory. Because I was going to, I'm be honest, I was about to just sleep it through. I was like, I'm tired. I just want to sleep. And he was like, no, get on the phone. And as soon as I got on the phone, that's exactly the first thing I heard was you going into the story. Oh, I just thank God for him using you and you allowing him to use you. And like Didi said, and Eric said, you have so much wisdom to be so young, but it doesn't matter. You know, if you're a willing vessel, God can just pour into you. It doesn't matter your youth, you know. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that encouragement. That really, that is power. You know, that encouragement to continue going and trusting everything God's doing. Because, you know, the truth of it is, with everything, you know, I don't think any of us have any ability of our own accord to do any of this stuff. Like everything I know is only because what God shows me. And when I see things in the spirit, because that's my gift. But I don't know any other life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I can look at somebody and I could see something. I could see something on them. Like, but I just, to me in my mind, it's just what I see. you know, like, and I could see a situation or what God's doing. It's not Moses doing that. You know, I have to give all honor and glory to God, because here's the thing. If I fail, I want to, I was telling my wife this morning, we actually woke up too early because we're an hour ahead of Bay Area time, and I forgot about that. So I called in at 6 our time, and I was like, man, why is nobody on yet? Why did it say I was the first caller on? And then she was getting ready for work, and I was like, oh, that's right. They switched their clocks back an hour yesterday, and we don't in Arizona. We don't change our clocks. So I was telling her, you know, if you fail, you kind of want help in carrying the load, but if you succeed, it feels good getting, you know, getting the accolades and getting it. So I always remember, it's always God, because if I fail, I want him to share in that too. You know what I mean? Because it's like, help me out here. You know, so it's always a matter to me of always just giving honor to God in every moment, you know, with all that stuff. So thank you for that. And yeah, it's true for me. I was walking in that cell every day. You know, I chose to do that, and I could talk about that for hours and days and weeks and months. But thank you for the encouragement. Really, I really appreciate that. Does anybody else have anything else to share? Yes.
This is Ravonda. How are you, babe?
Hey, and Miss D is behind Ravonda.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey. You know what? I was as I was listening to your share this morning, when you start talking about the list, I started cracking up because with me coming out of my prison cell
mm-hmm.
and moving, taking all the pictures and everything down out of my prison, I had decorated it and everything, you know, and had all my stuff together. And I had to put everything in boxes and, you know, move into this new place God has placed me in. And emotionally, you know, and I'm so grateful for that this morning. Getting ready to get up and get out of here and vote. Those of you in Richmond, don't forget to go vote Vanessa Calloway for school board. Well, one of the things that I thought about was the list. And, you know, God has had me go back and think about when I experienced success. And success for me, a lot of times, if I just complete it, you know, a lot of times, you know, that's a great place for me, because, you know, I had times, moments in my life, and even as a child, I could go back and see the habit of not really finishing things. You know, had a great embarkment, you know, on getting it together, but, you know, I stunk at finishing. But I realized that when I became an adult, and even adult in my thinking, mature in my thinking, that it was very important that finishing wasn't so much about other people giving me accolades, but it had everything to do with me. Because if I never finished anything, it would be very difficult for me to embark upon something, you know, when it's, when it's put there. And so I had to think about, you know, when I experienced my greatest success was when I basically wrote things down. And when you said how wonderful it made you feel to be able to cross things off of the list, I almost threw this phone. Something as simple as that, somebody said, I'm serious. I almost threw this phone. I said, that's the missing component a lot of times with people, and they don't realize it, because we really want it, you know, we really want it to be something else, some gimmick, some quick thing, you know, whatever. But I feel absolutely wonderful. When you said just calling, you know, the insurance company, you know, because I was the one who wouldn't open the mail. The mail would sit over there on the corner and pile up. I knew I had bills and everything, and I just wouldn't even deal with it, you know, because for some success just means deal with opening the mail over there that's on the doggone table. So,
amen.
That's accomplishment.
Yeah. Keep going.
You know, but I have I'm learning to kind of go back and see the when I experienced success, what was the common thread? And for me, it was making lists. And I'm not the neatest person, so in my house, everything has to have a place because I know me. When if my house is not together, that means my head isn't. You know, if I see something kind of piling up, that means it's something I'm not dealing with. But that's just me, you know. And so I'm so glad for your share this morning because, you know, sometimes the nuggets that we get aren't the things that, you know, will make you just go off in a corner and cry and holler and whatever. But it's the very thing that causes your mind to really be conformed, you know, to conform to a different way of thinking, you know. And so this morning, the simplicity of your message is what I got. And it was like, you know what, Lord, that's what it was. That's what does it for me is that doggone list. I love it. Thank you, baby, for sharing this morning.
Thank you for the encouragement. And you are so spot on. We might need to just go part two right now here at 8:30, or 8:30 my time right now. But, you know, honestly, it is so simple. God's love is so easy. Sometimes it's so simple to accept it. But you know what? Some of the craziest things I've ever had. So prophetically, I have I've had messages for people, and I know my mentor, he told me one time he had this guy at his church who was battling with he was addicted to heroin, and nobody knew it, but the Lord revealed it to my mentor at the time in the spirit. And he told him how much he was just battling and how it was so hard for him. And he just couldn't kick it. The guy couldn't kick the habit. And this is the craziest thing. And this totally reminds me of like Elijah, old school, like throw the axe over in the water. But he told the guy, he goes up to him in private and he tells him, he's like, hey, I know about what's going on. And the guy tells my mentor, Ken, this is years ago. He tells him, what are you talking about? And they're at church. They're at a church function. He's like, well, I know. And they're in private. They're off to the side. And he's like, well, I know what happens in private. I know that you're battling with the heroin. And he was like freaking out. He's like, hey, man, keep your voice down. He's like, what are you doing saying that out loud? He's like, how do you know that? And he's like, question him. He was like, it's okay. He was like, there's no judgment. He's like, I don't. He's like, I just wanted to let you know that the Lord told me to tell you, every time you get the urge to do drugs, dance. And the guy's like, what? He's like, yeah, every time you feel that urge that coming onto you, just dance. He said the guy never did drugs again. He was clean after that. Because it's one of those things where it's so simple sometimes because we're already healed. We've already had healing. We've already been set free. The cross absorbed the impact of everything. The cross Jesus took on every curse. So we don't need to curse ourselves anymore. We don't need to do. And me coming from the background of drug addiction, I literally quit drugs, smoking cigarettes and alcohol cold turkey in one day. Because God told me just I was sitting. I was literally high next to the washing machine. And I felt God say, grab your cigarettes in your left hand and crush them. And I was like, what? He told me, take everything, all your drugs, all your stuff, your pipe, everything, all the stuff, and go throw it in the garbage. And I was like, okay. And I just did it. Never did it again. And it was just like so simple because I was already healed. I was already set free. I just, in my mind, didn't know that. I didn't, my mind had to catch up to where my spirit was. So yeah, that's what that makes me think of. Thank you for sharing that. And I think there's somebody else that was waiting to share something.
Miss D.
Oh, Miss D. Sorry, good morning. Yeah, go ahead, Miss D.
No problem. Good morning, Moses. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you. I'm so grateful that you are a vessel that's being used like you are in such a mighty way. You said several things that stood out for me. Number, the first one is was the church. The world is a reflection of the church. That was deep. You know, that says a lot. That speaks volumes to the body of Christ. If I heard it. Hopefully the rest of the world on this line heard that. But we in the church are in prison too, in cages. We sit and go in this cage every week
two or three times a week and come out the same way. That's pretty deep. You know, taking some inventory of what we're doing as a body, as a whole. It's cool when we walk individually because we have that individual relationship with Christ, but what are we doing on the collective? That's rich. Mm. That is rich collectively because we talk about our individual, how God individually delivered us from these strongholds and broke chains and demolished the enemy for us. But as a group, how do we stop splitting and dividing ourselves? We have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism in Jesus Christ.
Come on. Come on.
We got to take inventory of our body. Because if one part of the body is weak, if one part of the body is sick, the rest of it is going to be the same way. We'll start to behave according to what's going on around us. That was very rich for me. You give me a lot of hope for the generations behind me. As I'm in my mid-60s, I look and see who is coming down this path. If we so muddled in the body, who wants to follow us? Take inventory, church. Take inventory and come up out of those cells of the church that has been hypocritical, that has been judgmental, that is bashing people or shaming people, because you mentioned church hurt. You know, we as a body have to get well. I can get good on my own, but if I'm isolating in my own stuff and I'm lifting up God about my victories, why am I lifting up about the others' victories around me? If I'm not lifting up a brother or a sister that's in pain, what is up with that? And the world is looking at that. Though you said it, the world is a reflection of the church. That's the body of Christ. We are the bride.
Mm.
And we haven't even trimmed our own candle wick so that when the groom comes, we be right. How dare us? How dare us? This is the Holy Spirit, because this wasn't what I intended to tell you.
No, it keep
this
going.
This wasn't what I intended
right
to
now.
Say. It wasn't what I intended to say, but I thank God because we got a generation of people that are lost, that are dying at the hands of one another every day. The racism that we're seeing in the world, the things of hatred that is being practiced is based on the reflection of our church, the body again. The body is ill. The body is caged. We got to do better, body. We got to do better. I love the Lord. I love you. I love you guys on this line. I thank you for what you said today. And like I said, this wasn't what I intended to come on here and say. Self had something else up. But God saw fit to use this platform right now to say what he wanted to be said. The body is still sick, and the body needs healing. The body needs the mind of Christ, that we can be a living example to those that are still in darkness. Because I got a whole family out there. See, and I may not be able to get to my family members, but one of you on this call unknowingly may be able to reach one person in my family. And I continue to work that's before me, hoping and praying that because of the good works I'm doing, that the Lord will send somebody to intervene on my family members. Because we don't always hear it from those that are closest to us. So thank you and thank God for his message this morning. I'm going to take that one and just walk with it. I love you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that message, that prophetic message to us too, because that was a prophetic message to convict and I believe edify and build us up. I could feel it. It was just, that was a Holy Spirit conviction moment. I could feel that strong. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for moving with the Spirit so fluidly like that. I appreciate that too. I text my mom right now. She was telling me, she was like, when as you were speaking, she was like, listen to her. And I was like, I just responded back, powerful woman of God. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your encouragement too. Does anybody else have anything to share?
Hey Moses, this is Bernice.
Hey, Bernice.
I was right with Ms. D. And I begin to think about how it is that the church, it is the reflection, the world is the reflection of the church. And then I begin to reflect upon myself and in thinking that, what is it that I am not doing? Because when you started to talk about the prison, but that door was open, so that meant that there was some sort of access. In there was access. You couldn't go out. It was because of your belief. I don't believe that I have, even though God has already given us, we've already been healed. I did not I could not see that I had access to be free, to leave. And so when you started to talk about the condition of the world and the church, I remember the time when I was, and I might have said this before, when I left church and I started to count the churches that I was that were on my way home, and I counted somewhere around 500 churches. And
wow.
And every one of the doors were shut. There was not one door open. So that meant that there was not access. So then as you were talking, I started to think about, well, what is it about me? How is it? What have I done or not done to reflect access to the body of Christ? How is it that the people don't feel like they can come and say, I need healing? And then I can say, you're already healed. It's because of the belief. It's because I don't believe it. Even though we say we are healed, we say it, we're saved, we're sanctified. Some of us, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But access is the very thing that we have lacked freedom. Does that make sense? For.
Yeah.
We have that jail cell, the door was open. The door is still open. So what am I going to do? Am I going to go out and evangelize? Am I going to use my prophetic gifts? Am I as a teacher going to teach the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth? Am I going to preach the message of the cross? What is it that I am going to do as of today? Right now, what is it that I am going to do? Are you still going to sit in that jail cell with the door open?
Exactly. Man, that's good. Wow. That is so powerful. And this is crazy. But so next month, I'm doing a 5-part series every week. Well, I'm going to go once a week next month from what you're talking about right now. And doing activations and supernatural gifting at the end and week 5 and all that. And that is so powerful. And I was telling my buddy is our church worship director. He's our worship leader's my best friend. He's our church worship director. And him and I were at my house the other day. We were just hanging out talking, and we're talking about how to flow in your gifting like that. And I told him, I was like, you know what, man? I was like, if you lined up 100 people right now, I could prophesy to each one of them. You know why? Because it's not me prophesying, because I don't do, if God gave us the full power that raised Jesus from the grave, right? Why do we need to sit around and wait for anything? Let's just go do it. Like, let's just go meet the world. If we have everything, he gave us everything. He gave us the keys to the car because he wants us to drive, not sit around and ask him, all right, God, can you move the car? Can you do this? Can you do that? He's like, go, I gave you the keys already. I gave you the car. Go just do it. You know, like people always say, like, oh, well, where's God in this and that? Well, where are the Christians at? Where are the believers at? If you want to know where God is at in a situation, go find the Christians. Because if they're watching TV at home, well, then that's where God's power is at, is watching TV at home. But if there's Christians right there in the thick of it, praying, showing people God's love, walking in power, showing signs and miracles, prophesying, I mean, because it's not hard to prophesy. Just go walk and talk to somebody. Look at them the way God looks at them, and you'll be able to prophesy over them every day for the next 50 years. I guarantee it. If you want to go and operate in the gift of discernment of spirits, well, just go look at somebody. Just go. Don't sit around. Make it happen. Just go do it. I love that heart that you're talking about. And yeah, you know it, especially with the prophetic gifting. You know, so it's like, yeah, I totally agree with that. I love the comedian, his name, Eddie Griffin. I used to watch Eddie Griffin, and I watched the interview that Eddie Griffin did, and they were like, you know, hey, what's your secret to like knowing God? Like, how do you like pursue God and all this? He was like looking at them like, what are you talking about? Like, he's like, God's everywhere. He's like, look over there, that tree, that's God. He's like, the air you're breathing right now, that's God. He was like, God's all around already. Like, why are you trying so hard? God's all around. They're like, well, how do you manage your relationship with God? And he's just looking like so confused. He's like, just hit those knee pads. He said, literally, hit those knee pads, baby. That's what he said. It's like, just pray. Just pray. Talk to God in your own time. Get filled up. And then he said, just go make stuff happen. Go make it happen. Stop trying for things. Just go make, go do it. Go make it happen. You have a dream? Just go do it. Go make it happen. If you want to reach people, you want to prophesy, you want to see the world change, just go do it. You already have everything inside of you. You know, it's we trivialize this stuff. It's so simple. It's so, just like Miss D was like, that was so powerful. You know, like, all this stuff is so simple. Everything we were talking about is so simple. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. Does anybody else have anything else to share with today's discussion? Anything at all? Anything God's
this
putting
is
on
Ms.
your heart?
D. I could just go on and on in conversation with you, so hopefully one day I'll get to fly down to Arizona and sit and spend a day and just talk with you. I would love that. But the way is Jesus. He is the door. He is the way. He is the one that keeps those doors open for us to walk back and forth. And as you said, it's in us already. And when we get to those walls or those places where we're just constantly okay with staying in that place and just tipping out and peeking around, just remember that the path to freedom is Christ. It's already there. It's already there. I love you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it. That's
good morning,
one of the biggest
Moses.
Things. For me. Good morning.
This is Pretty Patrice. Thank you so much for your declaration and the conversation of this morning. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So when we are no longer fearful and we're no longer holding on to those strongholds that blocked us from God in the first place, we are able to feel him, see him, know him for ourselves, and be stronger in him. When I got on this line, I didn't even know how to pray. And so then I become critical of how I'm praying. Well, God doesn't care what I pray, as long as I'm praying, as long as I'm talking to him, as long as I'm interceding for others. And so I'm just grateful that I'm growing in Christ. Thank you so much, Moses, for all that has been said on this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I think well, I'm really feeling led for us to pray. I do want to get into that. I do want to pray against these things and pray for the knowledge. Pray for the knowledge and the wisdom and you know, I think everybody sees that it's a very scary world sometimes. There's a lot of real things that folks are going to. And you know, to be honest with you, I had another message planned for today. And when I woke up, I see why I woke up early now, why God woke us up early this morning. My wife and I, an hour before, is because the message for today he gave me this morning. And I had to type it out this morning because I had another message prepared. And I see why now, because, you know, I think in my own ambitions, I have wanted like a title. I wanted this, you know, like I talked about in my message, I had that need for validation when I was younger and just like needed, I just feared people. Like I was one of those people, if one person didn't like me, they would become my new best friend until they liked me. Like I needed them to like me. Like I don't know if anybody's ever taken the Enneagram test, but I'm a type 3, which is the overachiever. And like I'm always like concerned with my image and like, you know, got to have a good haircut, got to have a nice fade going on, and, you know, got to have some nice clothes, got to look good and all these things. You know, I'm a type 3, you know, and I needed that approval. I needed that. And I needed that validation because I secretly didn't think I was good enough, you know. And so I strived for the title. I wanted to be a pastor and a leader, and I wanted to be a business owner, and I wanted to be all these things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But I needed them for validation. I needed them at the time when I was younger, when I was just battling with that mentality. You know, like I needed the validation because I was insecure. And I was scared that if I didn't have these things, when people came close to me, that they could see my flaws and defects and they wouldn't want to be around me. they wouldn't like me, they wouldn't love me, they wouldn't. But if I could just tailor my image perfectly, if I could just get, you know, girls to be attracted to me, if I could just get guys to respect me, if I could just be that, then I'll never have to worry about being sad again, because I'd have enough validation to power me through my life and to cover up and miss all the issues. And I want to pray about that. You know, I want to pray about that over us, that we don't have to, we don't have, if that is where you're battling, then I want to pray for you with that. If you're battling in the area of every time a family member texts you or calls you, fear and dread come over you because you think something bad happened to them, then I want to pray for you with that. If every time you get a call and you're fearful of a debt collector or a bill collector, I want to pray for you for that. Every time you get into a fight with your spouse or your partner and you just don't know what to say and you see it deteriorating before your eyes and you don't know how to talk about it, you don't know how to communicate your emotions or feelings, or even if your partner is the one who doesn't know how to communicate their emotions and feelings and you're just watching this relationship deteriorate, then I want to pray for you in that. And I want to partner together today. I want us to pray and partner together today that we're not going to subscribe to the old mentalities. We're not going to subscribe to the old thought processes anymore. We are not that old person. New wine, new wineskin. You know, this is a new time. God is doing a new thing. God is doing something powerful through us. We are the new norm. You know, we are the change. We are going to change this world. Every single one of us listening right now are going to change our communities, that change our cities, that change our states, that change our country, that change our world. And I genuinely believe that, because Jesus is the entire 3-4 billion people in Christianity today, 5 billion, however many people are Christians, it started with 12. And we got a lot more than 12 on the line right now. You know, we got more than 12 that give declarations every month. So what's going to be expected of us? If that 12 did this, what's our 60 going to do? What's our 70? What's our 80 going to do? That's what I want to pray about today. That's what I believe. Because I believe in the next generation. I believe in the seeds that we're sowing. And I believe everybody that's listening to me right now should have somebody they're mentoring to pass on the torch, should have somebody lateral and as an accountability. You know, and I'm going to pray for those things today. I want to lift us up today. So real quick before we all, I just want to get one more opportunity. If anybody has anything they would like to share today, and God's putting something on your heart, maybe a message. We've already got awesome, awesome shares today. So if you want to add to that, please feel free.
Good morning, Moses. This is Geraldine, and I just want to say thank you for the declaration today. I am busy with my grandchildren this morning, but it was an awesome word. And just keep doing what you do. It is so amazing, and I think this is a good place for us to get cultivated in the Word of God. You know, this is the season, and we must change. And I just thank you right now for the declaration. It was right on time.
Oh yeah, thank you, Geraldine. I appreciate that. Appreciate the words of encouragement, just sharpening each other. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Does anybody else have anything else to share, something you want to add before we start praying? Anything at all?
Yeah, Brother Moses, it's Julie. I just want to say everything you said, I concur. That's me. So looking forward to that prayer.
And let's partner. Let's partner. If there's nothing else, let's partner. Let's go in together. But what I want you to do right now is I want you today, everybody, think about that person. If it's you, if it's your husband, if it's your wife, if it's your son, it's your daughter, if you want to help bring that person back to a clean slate. You know, I have a loved one. I have two that I'm thinking of in my heart right now, and they have just experienced so much abuse in life, sexual abuse, physical abuse, you know, just hurt and pain in their life. And I just see why the enemy tried to destroy them from a young age, because they are both so anointed and so loving and have huge hearts. And those hearts are so covered underneath years and years of emotional debt, and they don't have that freedom, you know. And if you're thinking of that person, or if you are that person right now in your life, or you know somebody in your life that has that, and they just need to get back to zero. They just need to get back to that starting point. They just need a fresh starting point. Then we're going to lift them up for healing. We're going to lift you up for healing. So what I want you to do is I want you to just partner with me, and your heart just know. Just know, that's all I'm saying. Just know that it's done. That all, we're not begging, we're not asking, we're reaching out and grabbing it. When an orphan walks into a home, they ask for food, but the child doesn't ask for food. They go to the fridge and they grab from the fridge because this is their home. Their parent bought them that food. And we're not orphans anymore. None of us are orphans. None of us need to fight for that food. We don't need to steal that food anymore. We don't need to beg for that food anymore. We don't need to ask for that food anymore. You need to walk in and take what's yours. So today I'm going to start this prayer right now. God, we are walking in and we are taking what's ours. Lord, I know that you're smiling down on each one of us right now as we're thinking about our loved ones, as we're thinking about ourselves, as we're coming back up to zero, and then we're going to go further next week. Lord, but I see you smiling, God. I see you smiling because we're taking what's ours. You're saying, that's what I told them to do. That's what I taught them to do. You don't want death to be a thing anymore? Then go rob death on a cross. If you want to change a country, then go change a country. If you want to go change your workplace, then go change your workplace. If you want to save your marriage, then go save your marriage. Stop sitting around. Stop waiting for this. Stop waiting for that. Go and do it. Go change it. I've given you all power. I've given you all everything. I've given you gifting. There is prophets listening to my voice right now. There's pastors listening to my voice. There's evangelists. There's apostles listening to my voice right now. There's people that operate in the prophetic listening to my voice right now. There's people that can speak in all tongues listening to my voice. There's people with the discernment of spirits listening to my voice right now. There's people with discernment of spirits so powerful, they know the things I'm battling with as I speak through a phone. They don't even need to see my face. I praise God for every single one of those gifts that illuminates the dark things. God, I praise you for every good gift you've given each one of us. Now give us the vision, Lord, to go accomplish those things. Give us the power to take inventory. God, give us the confidence to walk boldly into the dark situations over the people we love in our life and even ourselves, God, and that we can say, get up and walk. That we can look at the storms and the waves in our life and we can say, stop, be calm. That we can look at the lions, God, that we could be in a den filled with lions and we could say, no, no one's eating today. No one's eating today. You're not eating today. You're not eating today. God, that we could be in the fire of the furnace and we can look around confused, God. That we can look around the burning fiery furnace confused, saying, who's burning today? Who was meant to burn today? Am I the one that was meant to burn today? Because it's kind of cold in here. God, that we can be the people that walk in the furnace of this world and we could say, who, God, was meant to burn today? Which one of us? Not me. I wasn't meant to burn. Not my God. Not by my God. Not by the power that my God gave me. Which one of our sons was meant to die? Which one of our kids was meant to be lost? Which one of our kids was meant to be in prison? Which one of our brothers was meant to be lost to the world? Not mine. Not my dad. Not my brother. Not my sister. Not my mom. Not my family. We're going to stand up and take hold of these, God. We're going to stand up on these promises. God, and I understand that you work in mysterious ways, and there's things in your world that we could not comprehend. We don't have an answer for everything, God. There's things, there's experiences, there's hurt, there's pain, there's loss, but they don't define us, God, because we stand in this world and we walk in the opposite direction. As billions pass us by going towards one direction, Lord, we're taking the road less traveled. We're taking the skinny path, God, the one that we got to tiptoe on because we don't fit on it. God, I know I don't fit on that path. I wasn't meant for that path, but you called me to that. Many are called, but few are chosen, Lord. And we're that chosen few that are going to stand in the gap for our communities, God, for the crime that happens in the East Bay and the South Bay, and for those of us that are in San Francisco, God, for those of us who are out here in Arizona, God, for those of us all over the country, God, in Nevada and up East, God, wherever we're at, Lord, wherever you know where you've stationed us, you know where you've positioned us, Lord, I pray that we're going to stand up and take hold of those communities. We're going to stand up and take hold. We're going to go on prayer walks around our communities, God, and we're going to change the very soil. We're going to heal the very soil, God, that saw slavery and racism, that saw murders and abductions and child sex trafficking. We're going to heal the very soil that facilitated those things, God. We're going to walk around. We're going to pray for the house, the trap house in our neighborhood. God, I remember the trap houses in my neighborhood, God. I remember walking by them and praying for them every day and seeing those families move out, God, seeing those families be healed. God, I pray that we're going to walk around our neighborhoods. We're going to walk around the schools in our neighborhood, God, and we're going to heal the schools. Lord, we're going to walk around our workplace, God, and we're going to heal our workplaces. We're going to circle our loved ones' neighborhoods, God, and we're going to pray over them when they're asleep at night, and we're going to watch them wake up in healing, God. They're going to wake up in a brand new love. They're going to wake up in a brand new fire, God. They're going to wake up with their hearts ignited after you, Lord, because we were the ones that stayed up all night praying. We're the ones that didn't sleep. We're the ones that are waking up at 6 and 5 every morning to lift your name up, God, for the ones that we care about and we love. So, God, I pray knowledge over each one of us. I pray wisdom. I pray encouragement, God, that we're able to sharpen each other in our accountability in our community. God, that we're able to watch each other and say, you know what? If so-and-so walked in that and her husband got healed, then I have hope for my husband. And if so-and-so's wife got healed, then I have hope for my wife. And if her kids were gangbanging and doing drugs and all that, and now they're going to church and they're leading and they're living in freedom and liberation, then my kids can too. And that it's going to be like a domino effect. And that domino effect is going to hit our family. We're going to see healing happen to those who are in the hospital right now. Those of our community of the Declare Victory family that are hurting, that are broken, God, those, we're going to watch them walk into healing. And then we're going to walk into healing because now we know the path. We got the GPS because I saw my friend get healed. And I got the GPS because I saw so-and-so get healed. So I'm going to walk in that faith too, because Mary went straight to Elizabeth to hang out with her when God gave her that promise, because Elizabeth was also already pregnant with promise, God. So we're going to go around other people who are pregnant with promise, and we're going to surround ourselves with people who are all pregnant with promise. And we're going to, and if we're sick, I'm going to go hang out with all the healed people who have been healed already, who are all healthy, because I'm healthy already, and I'm going to walk in that. And because I'm not a big-time business owner yet, but I'm going to go surround myself with the CEOs and the chairmen and all those, because I know I'm pregnant with promise, Lord, and we're all pregnant with promise. So we're going to walk with that for our family, for our loved ones, for our coworkers, for everybody, because you are a mighty God. You are a God that still answers to this day. You're a God that when a prayer goes up, a response comes down. Prayers don't go up to heaven and they just float around there in the atmosphere. God, they don't float around up there in space. God, those prayers go up and you come back down, Lord, just like you did thousands of years ago. You come back down to the cries of your people, Lord. So we worship you for that, that you're a God that gets up. You are a God that responds. You are a God that sees, and your ways are so much higher than our ways, Lord. And I praise you for that, God. So I thank you, Lord, and I pray that we would only fear you, Lord, that we would not fear our situations, that we could stand in the midst of the nastiest, ugliest, snarling, demonic situations in front of us, and we'll just smirk and be like, it's you again. You better get out of here, because you have no idea who my God is, and you have no idea who he created me to be. And I know that we're going to change our atmosphere with that mentality, with that heart, with the warrior heart that you've given each one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I praise you, Father, for the heart that you've put in each one of us and that you're putting in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you, everybody. Thank you for hanging around today and believing together. I look forward to praying for courts. That's all I do. Amen. That's all I do. So thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody, have a good day. You're now dismissed.
Have a good day, everyone.
Have a good day, family.
Blessed day, everybody.
Yeah. Blessed day,
everybody. Bye.